Good morning. Nice to see everyone. We want to welcome some people may be visiting. We want to welcome you here. We pray the Lord will bless our time together. Those who are viewing online, also we ask that the Lord will bless them. Let us open in a word of prayer, begin our service. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for who you are. You are the sovereign God, the only God. You are the architect, the creator, sustainer of life. And Father, we thank thee that you saw fit to send your perfect Son, your Holy Son, the Lamb of God, into a world where he would be despised and hated of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And Father, he came with one purpose in mind, to fulfill the Father's will, which was that he would die for sinners. And Father, give us hope, give us eternal life through faith in his finished work. So Father, we ask for help this morning as we look into your word. For thy word says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So Father, we need your help and we ask that you be with us. We allow the Spirit of God to speak to hearts. Even in our midst today, we ask all these things in the lovely name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. To the book of Philippians, chapter 2. We're going to read in at verse 12 down to verse 16. You know, the first part of chapter 2, we see the humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we see his exaltation. At verse 12, if you want to put a heading on it, it is this. Paul is now speaking to the Christians in Philippi, and he speaks about this, the outworking of the inworked salvation. The outworking of the inworked salvation. You can put three headings in these few verses. There is a purpose to achieve. There is a power to receive. And there is a promise to believe in these two verses. And in verse 15, we're going to ask three questions. And that verse will answer those questions. The first question is this. Who are we? Second question, where are we? And third question, what are we to do? Let me say that again. Who are we? As Christians, we are children of God. If we're not saved, we're children of darkness. Where are we? We are living in a crooked and perverse generation. We're going to look at a couple of places that proves that. We're living in perilous times, one of the places tells us. The word perilous means dangerous. It means a lot of terrible things are happening today. And what are we? The last one is, what are we to do? Look at verse 15 for a moment, then we're going to read it through. Look what it says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the children of God. That is what we are if we are saved. We're children of God. We heard about that this morning. You cannot lose your salvation. You're a child of God. If you're not, you're a child of darkness. We're going to look at that briefly too. That you may be blameless and harmless, the children of God, without rebuke. Here is where are we? In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And what are we to do? Among whom you should shine as lights in the world. As Christians, we are to shine as lights in this crooked and perverse world. Look at this next statement. Holding forth the word of light. We are to shine in this world. We are to be witnesses. We are to testify and not be ashamed of the gospel. And to be witness to a world that's living in darkness. In 1 John chapter 5, it says, the whole world lies in what? Wickedness. In fact, the rendering goes this: the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. And we are to be lights in this crooked and perverse world. So what are we? We're children of God if we're saved. Where are we? We're in a crooked and perverse world. What are we to do? We are to be shiny lights in this crooked and perverse world. Let's read in verse 12. Now, Paul is speaking to Christians who are doing quite well, even in his absence. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with reverence and humility. We're going to speak about that in a few moments. For it is God which works in you. We were talking about being sanctified this morning. God working in us. The word sanctified means separation, but it also has a meaning of holiness. God is working in us to make us more like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. There is a purpose to achieve, that is to be lights in this world. There is a power to receive, that is allowing God to work in us and through us. And there is a promise to believe that we will be rewarded someday in heaven. And what we are now, children of God, and what we have, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings and many other things we could talk about. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to be saved? And it's a scary thing not to be saved. And we're going to talk about darkness, and you know what? I can truly speak about darkness because I was 31 years old before I was saved. So I'm old. I was older than a lot of people in this very meeting this morning before I was saved. So do I know what darkness is all about? Yes, I do. Do I know what light is all about? Yes, I do. Because I've been 40 years saved, and I know, and I thank God that He took me out of darkness, and He has transported me into the kingdom of His dear Son. First of all, we want to talk about those who are we. If you're not saved this morning, and those who are watching who are not saved are like this, turn, first of all, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. We're just going to see four things about darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is the opposite of light, and you're going to see darkness and light quite often in this passage and some of the references that I look at. Darkness and light. A darkness would be equivalent to evil, sinfulness, and wickedness. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Paul is the same writer. He's speaking in Ephesians 5:8. He says, "For you were sometimes darkness." What does that mean? You were once wicked. You were evil. And can I relate to that? Yes, I can. What does it mean by being evil? Was I a murderer? No, I wasn't. But my thoughts, my motives, my intentions, and the way I spoke, and my actions, what I did, were evil in God's sight. I was in darkness. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I was in darkness. I was darkness. But look at that verse again, and it says, "You once were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord." There is the opposite. Walk as children of light. So we can see in that very sentence what we are and what we are to be, but also what we used to be. We were darkness. So we see, first of all, darkness is a person who was not saved. Darkness is a person. Turn now to John chapter 3 and verse 19. Darkness is also a preference. So those who are not saved, and I was not saved, I had preferred to walk in darkness because my deeds were evil. Look what it says in John chapter 3 and verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, Who is the light of the world? That was the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light. And we know that when light comes into a dark place, it illuminates, it exposes the dark, doesn't it? It says this, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness. That is, darkness is their preference. And we can, I'll have to prove that to you. When are most crimes done even today? Behind the screen of darkness, aren't they? People love to hide. Why? Because look what it says. Men love darkness. Why? Because their deeds or their works are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So number one, darkness is a person. Number two, darkness is a preference. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Verse 12 and 13. Verses that we read quite often. It says this, giving thanks unto the Father which hath qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we see darkness is a person who is not saved. Darkness is a preference for those who are not saved. Darkness is a power of those who are not saved. What did you mean by a power? Who is the power? The God of this world, small g. The prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2. Satan, you are under the power of Satan, of self, and sin. Darkness is a person who is not saved. Darkness is a preference that people who are not saved do. Their deeds are evil. Darkness is under a power of darkness. And the last one is a place. Matthew chapter 12, we read the story of the man who came into a wedding and he did not have on the right garments. Listen to the words of the master who came in verse Matthew 22 and verse 13. He says, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is the final resting place of those people. If they're not saved, if they do not get saved, that is their final resting place, in a place of outer darkness. So we see darkness is a person who's not saved. It is a preference for those who are not saved. It is under the power of those who are not saved. It is a place of darkness that people will be forever if they're not saved. But thank God, he can save anyone who will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why at the age 31, I thank God he opened my eyes. Because I was blinded to the truth. And my desire was for self, for sin. And I was under Satan's influence. But if you're saved this morning, look again at verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the children of God, without what? Rebuke. How do you become a child of God? John chapter 1, verse 12, 13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That is the light of the world. But as many as received him, who's him? That is the Lord Jesus Christ, and him alone. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the right to become a child of God or son of God, even to them that believe on his name. Salvation is through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. For by grace are you saved through faith. That is repentance and faith. It says in Acts chapter 20, repentance towards God. That is a changed mind. That night in 1982, I changed my mind. I agreed with God about what he said in the Bible about me. What he said in the Bible about his son. And I accepted what Jesus Christ has done for me in the cross of Calvary. And I accepted him by faith. Repentance towards God and faith towards his son Jesus Christ. That is salvation for anyone who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. any time, any place. Have you done that? What about His love? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now this is children of God. That we should be called children of God. His love is lavished on those who are saved. He loves you. And like we've read on Wednesday night, we're talking about sheep. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And I give unto them what? Eternal life. Then they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The moment you're saved, you are in Christ. You're in His hand. You shall never perish. And it says, my Father is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Eternal life He gives us. We're in His hand, and His hand is in the Father's hand. Would you call that triple security? You can't jump out. You can't get out. If you're saved this morning by faith, you are in Christ. We already heard our brother this morning, chapter 8 of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. In Christ. Saved by grace through faith. That's what salvation is. And at the end of that same chapter, it says there is no separation. There is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the what? From the love of God. Behold, what manner of love? A love that's foreign to you and I. A divine love that is lavished on you and I who are Christians. You see over here? Darkness. Over here, children of light. What did it say in Colossians? He had delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We have a brand new master now, don't we? We don't serve Satan ourselves. We're serving Christ. But what are we doing? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we being sanctified? Are we allowing God to work in us and through us by His Spirit? Are we in His Word? Do we love Him? A lot of times, some people, we look at this book as just a big storybook. And when we walk out of a meeting or something, then we think, that's reality. This little life is not even the drop on the tip of an iceberg compared to what's ahead of us who are saved. Not even the tip of an iceberg. What God has for you and I. This is training ground. This little short life is training ground for what's ahead of us. And we have no idea yet, but it says that we will be serving Him for all eternity. How would you like to serve the King? We read on the news, and our brother's already mentioned, we got our new King now over the Commonwealth or whatever. It is this question, what will King Charles be like? How will he rule? Well, thank God we have a King. We already know how he will rule. And someday he's the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, even now. And we are in His kingdom. If you're saved, can't get out. Hallelujah. Because I tell you one thing, thank God that I finally got in there by His grace. You know, it says in Colossians also that our life is hid in Christ in God. Another confirmation that we can't get out. So we have a life that's hid in Christ in God. We have a love that's lavished on us. And we are light in this world. What does it say again? In verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in this world. The world has labeled a whole bunch of generations. You know, we're living now in the Alpha generation. What is the next one in 2024? They're talking about the Beta generation. Generation we're in now, probably in 2010, started with the techie age. A lot of our young people are into that, aren't they? Do you know what the beta age is going to be about? It's going to be about all these machinery that's going to be doing people's work. And everybody's going to feel fine about it. Everything that's going on is going to be done by a machine controlled by humans. That's what the world had. But what? Listen to what it says here. It says, may be blameless and harmless, the son, children of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. We have a generation. Our generation is living for the Lord. And it also says about our citizenship in the book of Philippians, doesn't it? Our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. And that's where we're heading for. I thank God for that. Who are we? We're children of God. And thank God for that. Where are we? Where are we? It says in that verse again, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is where we're living. And let us look at this chapter, and you know what? We wonder today, I wonder, how can people do the things they're doing? Why? Because they're darkness. They're under the power of darkness. They love darkness. And if they don't get saved, they're going to go to a place of darkness for all eternity. That's why you and I need to shine as lights in this world. We need to testify. We need to witness to them. And it's not easy. You say, well, why did God put me here? Because that's exactly where God wanted you. You know that? Why am I living in 2022? Why am I here? How can I escape from this terrible, perverse world? Can you go to Mexico and get rid of this place? Can you go to the United States even? Can you go to Iraq? Can you go to Russia? It says the whole world lies in what? Wickedness. And God has placed you here and now in this crooked and perverse world to witness for Him. To witness for Him. The word crooked means literally dishonest and likely to do illegal things, especially in order to get money. The word perverse, showing a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable or unacceptable, even or often in spite of the consequences. Or another meaning, contrary to the accepted or expected standard or practice. And we only have to go on our media, our TVs and so on, and see what's happening in the world today. Things that are happening, you just say, what? What in the world are they talking about? What are they doing? How can they think that? Well, you imagine being in darkness, being controlled by Satan. That's what's happening. And you know what? I can speak because that's what happened in my life. And that's what brought me finally to the Lord. Because I was on that broad road that leads to destruction. Until the Lord got a hold of me. Give me a little shake up. And is the Lord trying to do that in the nations today? What happened a number of years ago, back in the 11th of September? Is the Lord trying to give someone a wake-up call when those twin towers come down? What about this past 3 years or whatever with the virus? Is the Lord trying to get someone's attention? Way back then, I was even watching a TV. I happened to be babysitting. I believe it was Jesse when he was about 2 years old. TV was on, and all of a sudden, we saw a plane go right into one of those towers. And the whole world, they were absolutely shocked. And some of the language that out of some of those announcers would scare you. But you know what happened after that? For about 5 months, they couldn't keep Bibles on the shelves. How come? But then it petered away. Because God got someone's attention. And He's been speaking through many different ways. And you know, to the lost and to the saved. Because I believe He is coming back very soon. That's just my opinion. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look what it says. how it starts off. It says this. This know also. This know. That in the last days perilous times shall come. Now listen to all these things that we're going to read off. We're not going to talk a whole lot about it because these are people of darkness. Listen to what it says. And see if it sort of relates to the world today. For men shall be lovers of their own self. Men shall be lovers of their own self. Covetous. In other words, lovers of money. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Remember with the first one, lovers of self. Lovers of pleasure more than God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here's an example. We could read about them in Exodus chapter 7 and 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And we'll stop our reading there. Where are we? We're amongst a crooked and perverse world. We are saved. And what are we to do? I want to read one other passage in another place where it speaks about those who are Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. By the way, that word perilous means suggest difficult, threatening, or dangerous times. Perilous times we are living in. Suggest threatening, dangerous, or stressful. If you're watching the media and so on and start seeing some of the laws that are being passed or trying to be passed, and I'm not going to get into any politics, period. We are living in perilous times. Socialism, Marxism, the whole thing. It's all there, isn't it? And sometimes we say, I don't listen to that stuff. But you know what? It's good to understand it because it ties right in with the Word of God. And we are living in perilous times. Extremely perilous times. In that passage we read in Timothy, Paul gives Timothy a description of conditions that will exist in the world prior to the Lord's coming. It is often being pointed out that the list of sins follows a similar pattern. And even sometimes some of the Christians, it says in the last days there was a falling away. There's so many things we could talk about. You know what? The children of Israel were God's earthly chosen people. He chose them to be what? An example to the rest of the world, to the Gentile world. They were to influence. They were to testify. They were to witness to these unsaved people. But what happened? The unsaved people started influencing them. And God had to judge them many times, didn't he? In fact, for 70 years, he put them into captivity in Babylon. And why do I tell you that? Because we need to understand that we can be influenced by the world also. And it says in James, it says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. We need to be careful, myself included. I know where I came from. But we need to be careful we're not drugged back into that. Because God wants us to be a light in the world. He wants us to be shining. And you know what? It looks like if we're looking in the world today, it's almost a losing battle. Well, thank God there is people being saved here, there, and places where we don't even recognize sometimes. But how are we doing? In North America, we have been tremendously blessed the past hundreds of years with the gospel, tremendous teaching and preachers and so on. But are we letting that slip? I hope not. Because God wants us to be lights in this world. He wants us to be testimonies. And so we read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. And it says, it starts off this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That is, they hold down or they suppress the truth. And we see that in the world today. In this chapter, you see three things. You see willful blindness, verses 19 to 20. You see wicked beliefs, verses 21 to 25. And you see wanton behavior, verses 26 to 32. You see a decline. You see a falling away. And with the wrath of God here, we're speaking about, because the wrath of God is mentioned in different forms in the Word of God. We spoke about the Old Testament, how God many times had wrath against His people. We see even in Genesis chapter 7 when He brought in the flood. Why? Because it says the wickedness of their hearts. Look at verse 21. Almost the same sentence before the Lord brought in the flood. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Speaking about darkness again. The wrath of God is revealed. Why is it revealed from heaven? Because, look at verse 19, we'll go back to 19, sorry for that. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Read Psalm 19. It speaks about His creation. The heavens speak every day in and day out. People know that there is God. There's got to be someone out there who was the architect who made all these things. Even scientists, if they would only stop for a few moments, they know that there's some creator who has created these billions of stars who He names all by names. He went like this with His hand, and billions upon billions of stars He put into place, planets and so forth. And so we see creation. Number one, God has spoken to people through creation. In verse 15 of chapter 2, we see there God has put into every man a conscience. Conscience. We know when we do wrong. God has put into this world Christians to speak to those who are not saved. Christ Himself has come into the world. And so they are without excuse. Creation, conscience, Christians, Christ. We are without excuse. Well, look what it says. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. We go back to generations and generations. And the people, Israelites and so on, they knew who God was. When they knew Him, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed of the glory of uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. I saw on a picture on YouTube the other day, someone down in California, you know what they had on a leash? An alligator walking into their home. All dressed up. What'd you say? We're worshiping what? Critters. And they're worshiping the creatures more than they are the Creator. We don't have to go any... pardon me. We don't have to go too far. We see dogs all dressed up. Cats. They're having funerals. And they're forgetting about the Creator. And they're honoring and they're worshiping creatures. You say, how did he get there? Well, remember we spoke about darkness? We are darkness. If you're dark, there's no light on. It's like a house sitting on a hill and there's no lights, sitting in darkness. Under the power and influence of a Satan who hates God, who hates the light. We're living in a bunch of people who preference is to do evil. That's why we can read these things and understand now why we are living in a crooked and perverse world. And it's not getting better. And that's why God has to save people out of, from under the power of darkness. And thank God, because salvation is a miracle, by the way. A miracle. And when someone's eyes are open and they come to realize who they are, where they are, and where they're going, they come to understand who God is. And they say, Lord, save me from my sins, for I am wicked. And I want to be with you and I want to live for you for all eternity. And that's what this book is all about, isn't it? It's our GPS how to live. It's our GPS how to get to heaven. It's our guide. And when we're connected to the one who is the way to heaven, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That makes all the difference, doesn't it? Makes all the difference in the world. We see willful blindness, and we don't have time. We're not going to go on much further. But it says, for this cause, in verse 26, God gave them up. We see three times. Twice, God gave them up. And look at the last one in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What is a reprobate mind? Look it up on Google yourself. According to the Word of God, it means useless. It means depraved. Unreasonable. Cannot understand. And God gave them up to a reprobate mind. We see that first verse, it says, for the wrath of God, this is the wrath of abandonment. God is doing that in the world today. One of the forms of his wrath. We know there's another wrath in Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 19. We already studied that book. Those are the wrath poured upon people who are left behind. Then we see the wrath of God after the millennial, after when people are standing at the great white throne judgment. Those people who have been in hell, those people who were in darkness and died in darkness, and they will stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. That is the wrath of God, permanent. And that is a terrible place to be. And we see that there's no one opens their mouths. Why? Because it says they will, the whole world, those who are not saved, will stand before God as guilty. And they will know that. So how come men are so stubborn? How come we're so willfully blinded? We've been studying that in the book of John. Those Pharisees and those people who are standing right in front of the truth. And they deliberately said, we don't see him, we don't like him, we don't want him. Get him out of here. Willful blindness. Wicked beliefs. And wanton behavior. And God, he gave them up. You say, okay, it speaks about homosexuality and a few things here. But is there anything that God is doing to those people? What are they reaping, what they sow? Yes. Look at some of the diseases that pop upon them and so on. We're not going to get into that. God is working now. But thank God he has saved us. In this last 7 minutes, we're going to talk about what we should do. What we should do. What are we? 1 Peter chapter 2. Turn there, please. What are we to do? 1 Peter chapter 2. If you are saved this morning, you heard all kinds of bad stuff, didn't you? Let's start listening to some good stuff. If you're saved this morning, listen to these words. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you who are saved, listen to what? But you who are a chosen generation. We don't have to worry about if we're alpha generation or beta, or we're the generations way down, X, Y, Z, whatever. You are a chosen generation, the Lord says. Not only that, he says, but you're a royal priesthood. Not only that, he says, but you're a holy generation. Not only that, he says, but you're a peculiar people, which means people of God's own. His own people. You belong to him. He loves you. He cares for you. He will look after you. He will bless you because you belong to him. You are a peculiar people that you should, this is what we should do. Look here. You should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what we should be. This morning we were here to what? To praise him. To thank him for what he's done for us. And we should do that often, even at home. Praise him. I praise God and thank him for what he's done for me. Do I deserve it? No. It's a gift. He gave us eternal life. We must receive it in order for it to be a gift. But there's many who won't. He says this, you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past, he says, this is where you were. In times past, you were not a people of his own. But now you are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy. But now you have obtained mercy. What is mercy? God not given to us what we deserve. In the moment I accepted Jesus Christ, I entered into his mercy, his grace, and his marvelous love. And I am a child of God. Not because I read the Bible. Not because I go to church or come here every week or go to another church. It does not matter. It's who you have a relationship with. It is with one person and one person alone. That is through Jesus Christ, God's Son. That is why he sent him into the world to die for your sins, for my sins. And I thank God he paid my sins in full. And I accepted that. The full payment. And because of that, he has given me the right to become a child of God. And when God looks at me, he sees me in his Son Christ, who has paid the debt. And the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. And when anyone would accuse me, the Lord, all he has to do is raise his hands and says, here are the prints of the nails of Calvary's cross. I paid his debt. And we are accepted in the beloved that is in God. What a Savior we have. It says in that chapter again in Philippians that we should show forth his light. His light. Get back to that. And we're going to end it there very shortly. Philippians chapter 2 and verse, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world that we all already looked at, holding forth the word of life. You know, many times a big ship would come into our harbor and be a storm on, or be nighttime. It'd have to be lighthouses, wouldn't they, to show, to guide that ship into the harbor. If those lights were not turned on, what would happen to the ships? They would probably go onto the rocks and so forth. A light is something that guides us, doesn't it? A light is something that shows, that illuminates. You and I are to hold forth the word of life. That is God's word. It is God's word. It's God's message. All we are little messengers. We are little nobodies who come to speak about somebody who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is his word. It is his spirit that speaks to souls. It is his gospel. It is all his. And we are privileged to share His Word. We are privileged to enter into His Word. We are privileged to be children of God. And we are blessed, if you went to Ephesians, with all spiritual blessings. We have an inheritance that's undefiled, that's waiting for us in heaven, that will be there forever. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We will be forever with Him, serving Him. I believe in the millennial we'll be going from heavenly Jerusalem to earthly Jerusalem. We'll have a body that's changed, transformed, that cannot be defiled again. We'll be taken out of the presence of sin, never to be able to sin again. Can you believe that? Walking on streets of gold in a place that's four square. Foundations that are made out of 12 different pearls and, or not pearls, but different diamonds and all the different jewels. 12 gates made of pearl. Do a little study on what a pearl is and how it comes about to be a pearl. Why did He use pearly gates? 12 in the Bible, many times mentioned over and over. I believe it speaks about God's ministration and authority. From way back to the 12 tribes of Israel, to the 12 stones He put as He went across the river, to the 12 disciples, to the number 12, the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. How old was He? 12 years old. Authority of God. When we come into heaven, we see the 12 tribes. We see 4 and 20 elders, 2 twelves. We see 12 gates. We see 12 foundations. We see 12, so many different places. We think of 7 as a picture of perfection or completion. 12 is a picture of God's authority. Think of the 12 loaves of bread. God's authority. How many people did He feed with those 12 loaves? Or I'm sorry, how many? There were 12 loaves left over. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Did I get that right? How many baskets were left? 12. What was that showing? The authority of God. It was God who did that. We have a wonderful Savior. We have a wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Questions again? Who are we? Where are we? And what are we to do? I'll let you ask those questions to yourself. If you're saved, you're a child of God. If you're not saved, you're a child of darkness. It says in Ephesians, children of disobedience. If you're saved, you're a child of God. We are living in a perverse and crooked world. And we are to be lights in this world. To witness any way we possibly can to our neighbors. And I know a lot of people here are doing that. To those we work with. Our families. We are to live before them. So that when they look at us, they can see something of Christ in us. That is what God wants from you and I. We pray the Lord will bless everyone here today. We pray the Lord will speak to hearts, myself included, because none of us are exempt. We pray that we would have a desire to live these last few days and lives for Christ. I'm going to stop with one little story. I was at the booth at the exhibition. The one thing that stuck in my mind, and I never shared it, was I was there the first day and was not many people around. But I did see this one young fellow coming towards the booth. He had no intentions of stopping, of course. He had a backpack on. He was walking quite swiftly. He had things on his mind and places to go. And as he came near to the booth, and he started shaking his head like this. And as he walked by, he just kept shaking his head. I never saw that man before. And if he's not saved, I will never see him again. That's what is sad. And we think of the people as the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross. And it says that they passed by with their lambs and so on. And it says they wagged their what? Wagged their heads. They missed the point, didn't they? This young man was walking by a booth, and it says, "For God so loved the world," on it. He saw all this literature here, and all he could do was shake his head and said, "You foolish old man." And the Bible says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us, the power of God. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we once again come to Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for Your Word. We thank Thee for Your Son, who did Your will, who was worthy of all our praise. For He has made us. He has made a way for us. And for those who will come to Him, He will qualify them. Because we are not qualified if we're not saved. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The moment we trust Him in faith, we are qualified and become part of the children of light. We have an inheritance. Father, we cannot truly comprehend or understand all of the little things and big things about Your salvation. But we truly take You at Your word. And we thank You for that. We thank Thee for each one here today. We ask that You would bless, part us with Your blessings, we pray. For we ask it in the worthy name of Your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.